A few moments to be standing and singing the song that's been announced as a means of encouragement for those who are outside the body of Christ. Very happy to have this number present with us today, especially those that are visiting with us, looking out. We've got several people visiting with us. Chad's on his good behavior today. Mom and Dad here, so that's good. Jason has his brother here. Jason's brother and I, we played the golf tournament years ago with Dr. Ken Embry and Jason Allen's dad, John. And Ken Embry had a great big belly at the time, and he would have a long club to get around his belly. I remember that day. But good to see all of them here today, as well as others. When I think of this rain, it takes me back to 1997 here. I remember when it first started. Lynn and I were eating dinner with Cindy and Jeff and another couple downtown, and we were just soaked when we got back to the car. And then got home and had some water in our basement, so we stayed up Saturday night until, I don't know, 3, 4 in the morning getting the water out of the basement. And then when I got here to church, I had no idea what we were going to be in for over the next, I guess, the next 3 or 4 weeks as we rebuilt so many people's houses here in this congregation. A lot of elderly people, they were being carried out by the fire departments. I remember Opal Meese, I guess he had already died by that time, but she was rescued. I remember Mildred Grisham. I guess it was Jeff Nethery. He had a pickup truck at that time, and we were going over to find Mildred. She was somewhere over in the south end. I said, Mildred, come on, go with us. I'll take you to Debbie's or to Brenda's. And she said, no, they're feeding me Taco Bell and playing country music. I'm just going to stay here. So she was proud about that. But we did rebuild a lot of people's homes over the next few weeks. And I think he was Bob Mary Jane's business to some degree. We never took a dollar out of the treasury. All of that was funded by the members of the church here. So that just tells me that you all are good, fine people, and continue to be good people. On any subject, the Bible gives us a balanced view. A balanced view that we're able to harmonize what is said on a certain subject. If we had a pretend scale here, we could see both sides. And Romans 11, verse 22, about the goodness and mercy of God. And at the same time, God's severity and God's wrath. Or in chapter 3 of Ephesians, to where the Bible is easy to understand. But then again, you see in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 16, to where Paul's words, many times what he wrote, was very hard to understand. We see in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, to where he personifies love, or he personifies love, really. To where he says that love is kind and love is gentle. But at the same time, in Revelation, he talks about that love, it rebukes and it chastens. But a lot of times we tend to get an unbalanced view of certain things. Back when I was a kid maybe growing up, you might have gotten maybe an unbalanced view sometimes in preaching, to where a lot of times they would talk about God's wrath. I mean, they might spend the last 15 seconds of a sermon talking about God's hope, but you might spend an iron You might spend an hour and 15 minutes dealing with the wrath of God a lot of times. And there's been different times to where that's vacillated over the course of the church, to where we deal with different things at different times. Or it might be just the other extreme, to where we spend a lot of time maybe talking about God's mercy and God's goodness and things like that. But today what we want to do is we want to have a balanced view. And we want to have a balanced view of sin. And as we deal with this, just a little easy sermon for you to follow along with today. And then the lesson will be yours. All of us can identify with sin. We see over in Romans and in chapter 3 and in verse 23. Very familiar passage, Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In 1 John, in chapter 1, in verse 8, as he talks to Christians there, he says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But most of the time, especially in denominationalism, usually they try to only give you one side of this. It might be that of focusing on sin seriousness. And I tell you what, that most denominations aren't going to do that anymore. They need to drive people in, so they're not going to focus on that. But the other side is that you only focus on the hopefulness. But today, let's look and see, or try to see a balanced view of this. First of all, we'll look at the negative side. We're going to look at the positive side too, but first, to get to both sides, you got to look at one side or the other. So let's look at the negative side first. The seriousness of sin. One of the first things I see is that it destroys a relationship to God. In Colossians and in chapter 3 and in verse 6, Colossians 3 and in verse 6. He says, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. We see in Isaiah chapter 59 a very familiar verse in Isaiah 59 in verses 1 and 2 where sin separates you from God. In Isaiah 59 and in verse 1 and 2 it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that he cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear. For your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So you don't want that side of the balance sheet. You want something to be able to take care of that. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Also, it hinders our prayers. We see in the relationship of a husband and wife, in a relationship that might have some problems. He says in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 7, it says, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And then he says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. He talks about this encumbrance as well in Hebrews and in chapter 12, this idea of hindering. He says in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance. Or that idea again of your prayers being hindered because you're not in a right relationship with God. And let us run with endurance the race that is set
that is set before us.
So, on this side of the scale now, we have the first, and it destroys relationship to God. We also see that it destroys hope. In John, and in chapter 8, and in verse 21, John 8, and in verse 21, John 8, and in verse 21, then he said again to them, I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. For where I am going, you cannot come. In fact, we see that it's eternal separation from God. We looked at Romans 3 a moment ago. Let's look now to Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. That being the separation. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want that side of the scale. It's a separation, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, we've seen two so far. We also see that it destroys character. Destroys character. In Proverbs, and in chapter 22, and in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 22, and in verse 1. Proverbs 22, and in verse 1. It says, a good name is to be more desired than great wealth, and favor is better than silver and gold. It brings shame and dishonor. Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 33. Proverbs 6 and in verse 33. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. Or it calluses the heart over in Hebrews chapter 3. Again, we see what else on this unbalanced side so far. That it destroys families. In Luke and in chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. In verse 49 through 53. Luke 12 verse 49 through 53. Luke 12 verse 49. He says, I have come to cast fire upon the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. He says, I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two, or two against three. And they'll be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Family members not following the Lord. In Ezra, they were split. They had to repent. They had to put away those foreign wives and foreign children. In order to be pleasing to God. And we see in Ephesians chapter 5, the marriages fail many times because of sin in people's lives. We also see that it destroys self-esteem. In Psalm 32. Psalm 32, we see the guilt. See the guilt that is carried. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 4. It says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, but whose spirit there is no deceit. Then he says, verse 3, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away, though my groaning all the day long. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you experienced that before you were baptized into Christ. The way you were worried, at night about the fact, well, I know I need to be baptized into Christ, but I'm going to wait a little bit longer. I'm going to wait for this reason, that reason. Maybe it's my ego that I'm not going to be baptized into Christ. Whatever it is, we see people that are groaning all the time. And it might be the fact that you become a child of God. And after becoming a child of God, you understand that there's sin in your life. Practice hypocrisy. The idea is you're wearing a mask. Or you might come in here, claim to be a faithful Christian. But then on the outside with the world knows what you're doing. And here it bothers you. Maybe when you partake of the Lord's Supper, you think, I'm wrong with this here at this time. I need to straighten up my life. I need to straighten up what I'm doing here at this time so I can take of the Lord's Supper with a pure heart. He says in verse 4, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as the fever heat of summer." In Psalm 51, David, as he has his prayer for pardon, his contrite heart, he says in verse 4, "And against you only you have I sinned, and have done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge." If you like that today, you don't have to carry that any longer. If you need to be baptized today, you can be baptized today. Everything's ready. Water's ready. You've got to change clothes in the back. Everything's ready for you to change your life today. And if you've become a child of God, then you're carrying sin in your life right now. There's no reason for you to carry that sin any longer. You can repent of that. The second law of pardon that He offers to each one of us. It destroys esteem. It destroys resistance. It enslaves. He talks about in Proverbs chapter 5 verse 22. I remember years ago doing this to a little boy, to where it talks about being wrapped around the cords of sin. Here at, I don't know, maybe we were having something in the summer here or something, but I was putting a little string around a little boy. He just had a little skinny boy, and he was able just to break that string. And then one of the bigger boys, I took some of Lynn's sewing thread there, and I wrapped it around him. And finally, I thought he was just going to tear his little arms up there, just cut his arms. Because that big old boy, he was trying to break the cords. But a lot of times you get enslaved in the cords of sin, and they become difficult to break. We see that it grows. We see this with David. With Bathsheba. I mean, what did he do? He was up on a rooftop. He saw her. He took a second look. He sent for her. He committed immorality with her. He went and had her husband brought. He murdered the husband. The child died. You don't think slave or sin will enslave you? Achan? During the time of the destruction of Jericho? You don't think sin will enslave you? Peter? And what Norman alluded to today, Judas Iscariot, went out, hung himself. So that's the one side. That's the one view. So let's look at the other side really quick and see if we can get the other view. The positive view. That of hopefulness. The idea is that I can be forgiven. I can be forgiven of my sins. God is gracious. God is merciful. Sometimes right now we're in the Minor Prophets on Wednesday night, and sometimes you might not see that for a while, that God, he wants to pour out his wrath upon people. But then in what we're studying right now in Hosea, you get glimpses all the time of people having the opportunity to come back to God. To come back to God. Return to God. In Micah in chapter 7, verse 18. It says, "Who is a God like you, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? And he does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love." He delights in unchanging love. In Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, we read this in Friday night class the other night. Oh, I wish you could be at those classes. Hear those little ones read. They read the other night, read the Word of God the other night, just so wonderfully. Verse 8 and 9 we always read. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." But what's the context of that? The context of that is verse 7, to where he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon." That's what he's saying about my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. He's talking about the fact of his mercy and grace, that he wants to pardon people. I know we make all sorts of sermons out of my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But that's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting to pardon you and me and everyone else. In 1 John in chapter 1 and in verse 9, 1 John 1 in verse 9. 1 John 1 in verse 9. He says, "We confess our sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from," you can underline it, "all unrighteousness." To cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And as Hebrews says, quoting Jeremiah, "He will remember your sins no more." So you can't be forgiven. You can change. Christ can transform the sinner. We talked about this in our entire Bible class this morning, how the Apostle Paul was transformed. He changed his mind. He wasn't peddling, as he said, the gospel. But he was trying to teach it to them. David, he changed. Paul, he changed. Corinthians changed. We see as well that you can overcome. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Romans 6 verse 1 and 2. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. God forbid. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" Could stop the sin. Philippians chapter 3. You can forget the past. Verse 13, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." And it can be prevented. 1 John chapter 2. And then verse 1, 1 John 2, and then verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We can be useful. Luke 22. He tells Peter that Peter's going to desert him. Verse 31. Let's go there. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. The idea is he wants to see what's genuine. To sift you as wheat, to find what's genuine. Are you going to be genuine at this time, Peter? No, not at this time. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. But once you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. And he said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And then he says, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you've denied me three times that you do not know me. He follows him from afar and says, then denies him three times, even to the point of cursing, not cursing like we think of cursing today, but swearing to the God of heaven, I do not know this man, Jesus Christ. I've never met him. I've never seen him before in my life. I do not know this man. Swore to God. That's how far he had gone. But we see that he can still be useful. Strengthen the brethren. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's going to talk about holy living. And then later he becomes an elder in the church, Jerusalem. So, you have a balance. You have a balance this morning about what sin can do, about how serious sin is, but at the same time, God on the balance sheet has shown us the fact that there is hopefulness as well for you and for me and for everybody else. The danger, just for a minute here, is with the unbalanced view. It might be on this side to where you talk about the seriousness. Continue to view people as being guilty. Oh, he's come forward again. He came forward with that same sin 14 years ago. He's not serious about the Christian life. He just keeps on coming forward with that sin. View people as guilty. Forgiveness isn't easy. That's supposed to be 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verses 10 and 11 that we just studied a couple of weeks ago. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, but one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Don't consider your own temptation. He talks about the very end of this. In verse 1, lest you be tempted to, lest you be tempted to. And the other side is to just focus on a positive view. To never worry about being lost or anything. Oh, it's no big deal to sin. After you sin, just go ahead and pray to God. And no big deal. You want to drink, drink. You want to carouse, carouse. Do whatever. And then after you do it, just pray to God. Just minimize the sin. No consequence, no big deal. Toy with it. Most people come out okay concerning it. It's all right. Just go ahead and do it. It failed to distinguish between that of the guilt and the consequence. So, we see both sides. See a negative view, positive view, and the danger of an imbalanced view. We'd encourage you right now that if you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ by becoming a child of God, or if you need to come back to your first love, just as I am, without one plea. Right now, all together we stand, we sing.